So Psalm 128, and I was just saying there, but it's quite striking, and I found this when I read this psalm, how clear-cut and how it seems optimistic this psalm is. We read of certain blessings, things which are sure, things which are definite, things which are guaranteed. For example, the first verse, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, for thou shalt eat the labour of thine hands. It shall be well with thee." And that sort of tone continues throughout the whole psalm. And the whole focus upon this psalm is upon God's blessing. That's quite evident from just a quick look at the psalm once again. The words appear here and there, verse 1, verse 4, and verse 5. It's quite clear that the psalmist has in mind the blessing of God upon his people in general, and the believer as an individual, and of course within the home environment as well. And I'm sure you notice the word blessed conveys the idea of a number or a plurality of happiness, as if it were saying happinesses, just like Psalm 1 and verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man, and it's talking about the abundance of happiness, the plurality of happinesses of the one that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And that same thought is here. It's the same Hebrew word. It's given the same idea. It's talking about an overwhelming joy and blessed condition and happy state of one that fears and trusts the Lord. Now, it is clear that when you compare Psalm 128 with all other scripture, and I would say the experience of believers throughout history, that this psalm is not a matter of, well, if we trust the Lord, all will be perfect and all will be fine in this life. Because clearly when we read other scriptures, that's not the case. And when we think of Christian experience, it is clearly not the case. For example, many have not married and do live and are living and shall live very godly and good lives in the sight of God. Many have lost their wife after only a short time married. They haven't had that experience, as it were, of the fruitful vine by the sides of their house. Some will weep because they cannot have children. Others will weep because they lose their children. So this psalm is not meant to suggest that the experience of these things is because the fear of God is absent in someone's life. It's establishing something, I believe, more deeper and more sincere than that sort of superficial understanding. It's establishing that the true cause and means of blessedness, what this is, and how it is unfolded in our life, whether we have a family or not, because I believe the truth will be just the same. And this is what I want us to think about as we study this psalm. What makes us happy in home and in heart? Or what makes us blessed in our hearts and within our home? Well, let's look at how we unveil its source. Because in verse 1 and verse 2, we have the source of this blessedness. Verse 1 says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." So it's quite clear. Here's the crucial element. Here's the foundational stone, as it were. To fear the Lord, to fear God, and to walk in his ways. God's word reveals this as what constitutes and as what brings blessedness in our life. And of course, it's of universal application, because in verse 1, the psalmist writes, "Blessed is everyone." And he's not saying everyone is blessed regardless of what they think of Christ or what they do with the Lord. No, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. And he becomes more specific in verse 2, "Thou shalt eat." So he talks generally in verse 1 and he applies it as he goes through the psalm. Therefore, while circumstances change, depending upon where we come from in this world and our background in this life, circumstances do not dictate whether or not we can be recipients of God's blessing. So this is true of someone that has maybe never heard the gospel and comes into contact with the gospel and is saved. They're blessed despite who they were, because they fear and they trust in Christ and they walk in his ways. And it is equally true of one brought up in a Christian home under the influence of the gospel. They're blessed when they fear the Lord and they walk in his ways. And that brings us to ask a very important question. What is it to fear the Lord? C.H. Spurgeon described the fear of the Lord as the cornerstone of all blessedness. Another man said, to be truly holy is to be truly happy. And we have to establish here that true holiness is never at odds with true happiness or true blessedness. They go hand in hand. And I suppose that hymn that we sung is very fitting. Take time to be holy. And it speaks of the blessing of God being upon us. Now the fear of God is not a fear, and I'm sure we know this evening, it is not a fear of one who knows he's condemned and stands condemned in judgment day. That will fill the hearts of many. That will be the lot of those that stand before the Lord on judgment day and they are Christless. And a fear will fill their heart. A fear that will not be dispelled or taken away. And that's not our fear. Because we know that in Christ we are not under condemnation. In James 2 and verse 19 we read of devils believing and tremble. But we know quite clearly that the devils and their belief is not a saving belief. It is an acknowledgement of the Lord and of who he is in his own divine sovereignty and power. And they believe this and they tremble. But it's not a healthy fear. And it's not a saving fear. Likewise, a nominal fear is something that we have to dismiss from this passage. You know, sometimes we talk of people. And I suppose out of all of the categories, this is the most preferable one, but it's not the one that we have in mind. We speak of people that are God-fearing, or even countries that are God-fearing nations. And that in itself is a healthy thing. It's a good thing. But if it doesn't lead us to saving faith in Christ, it is not a profitable thing. So a nominal fear, just merely being God-fearing, is not what we have in mind in Psalm 128. It's a fear of God, yes, that is reverential, yes, that is good, yes, that is healthy. That's all in focus here, but we're pointed here not only to a sincere fear, but fruit. For he says at the end of verse 1, that walketh in his ways. Now this is crucial to an understanding of this fear of God. True fear for the believer, that is a true fear for God, it's that which supplies happiness. And it flows from a right standing with God in Jesus Christ. In Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, and you can just look at that quite clearly on the same page. The psalmist asks and answers this question, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? Who shall stand? What a challenge. If the Lord was the one that was going to now come and make us give an account, as it were, and mark our iniquities, no one would stand. But he goes on and he says, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And you see, that's the source. We have in mind here the people of God, they're saved in Christ, they're pardoned. There is forgiveness with the Lord. That's the wonderful truth. And he goes on to say that thou mayest be feared. Forgiveness leads to a true, healthy, spiritual fear of God. It opens up a deep appreciation for the Lord and who he is. And this fear will be practical, not only emotional, because we will consequently walk in the ways of the Lord. So we unveil its source. It's the fear of the Lord, as we read the scriptures. That's the beginning of wisdom. Secondly, let's unfold its simplicity. Look at verse 2. Thou shalt eat the labour of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be and it shall be well with me. You know, the world gauges prosperity and happiness by its own unreliable means. That's not to say that everyone thinks the same ways. Not everyone views money and possessions as the source of all happiness. And that's quite clear. Some people don't have that mindset. A lot of people do. A lot of people have that way of thinking. If they can have enough, if they can get enough, if they can, as it were, hoard all these things together and know they are set in this financial sense, then they will be happy. And we know that's not what the scriptures teach. The psalm makes it very simple. And it makes it very understandable. And very practical as well, I must add, that what flows from a converted and consecrated life to God is simply an everyday, hard-working life. Some people that, as it were, look at Christianity and they will read this and they will think, well, that's not really the source of happiness, so you're not going to tell me of some fantastic thing that we are going to do every day of our life. No, the Lord tells us that if we're in Christ and we're saved and we fear God and we walk in his ways and we eat the labours of our hands, we're happy and it will be well with us. And again, as I said, this is of course in degrees. There's times when things aren't well. There are times when we go through grief, and I don't think I need to emphasise that continually. We know these things. It's conditioned by certain circumstances, but it's just a general rule. This is what God, as it were, has ordained for his people. It is the mind and the will of God that we labour with our hands, that we do that which is right, we're hardworking, and this leads us to a sense of satisfaction, happiness, when it's all done with a fear of God in view. God's word doesn't tell us there's a quick solution to, as it were, financial success. I know the world has its own ideas with the lottery and things, but for the Christian, we don't believe that. We don't believe, or at least here in the church, that Christianity leads to all without measure temporal prosperity. That's not taught in the scriptures. But what is taught? That we work with our hands and we labour with what God has given us and we eat the labour of our hands. And the whole idea there is that which is provided for a daily basis, sufficient for our needs, it will be well with thee. If people cannot confess and testify that fearing God and walking in his ways and living honestly and earnestly does not yield happiness, we have to wonder if they've ever known the Lord in the first place. You do have to wonder at those that maybe make a profession and they don't see the simple things of trusting God, walking in his ways, keeping his word, coming to God's house, working, bringing up their family, enjoying these things. And they think there must be more and more and more for me. And you sort of wonder, have they ever truly come to a saving faith of the Lord? Now, of course, we're not excluding other elements here. For example, the rest of the psalm shows us how our family, it does bring a large degree of our happiness if we have a family circle and if we are married and we have children. And that's what the idea of the psalm is in mind here. Or we can think of just relatives or friends and Christian brothers and sisters, the church environment, all these things which are legitimate activities. The legitimate things that we do with the time that we have. I don't think there's anything wrong in those things. And there is a degree of happiness and pleasure in them. But all of these things, if they're entered into without the fear of God, they'll only leave an aching void. All must be done with verse 1 in mind. The whole psalm must be interpreted with the first verse as the foundational stone. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. And lastly, as we finish, I want us to understand its scope. What is the scope of this blessedness? Well, as this psalm is concerned, the scope is the family. And first of all, in the home. Look at verse 3 and verse 6. My wife shall be as a fruitful vine. By the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Verse 6, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. As I said, marriage and children, they're not everybody's lot. It's not everyone's life that they're going to live. But when those things do happen, it is a blessing, and it's to be viewed as a God-given blessing. And we looked at that in Psalm 127. But where the fear of God is absent, and where God's fear is absent in these areas, there is generally no enjoyment of God's blessing. And we see that all around us. The fact that the God-ordained design of marriage and the family circle and how this impacts church and society and the life in which we live has been turned upside down on its head. What is good is being called evil, and what is evil is being labelled as good and right in the eyes of the world. And we see the chaos. We see the, as it were, the destruction, the grief, the mayhem that is all around us in families and in life. And it's sad to say that the emphasis upon the home and the structure of the home is something that is clearly missing in our day. And it leads to grief, but where it's observed, and particularly in the fear of God, it leads to blessing and enjoyment in this life. And therefore, we're to enjoy this life. Of course, we long for Christ to come. We long when we, as it were, put off this earthly tabernacle. We do not deny that, but we're not therefore to be deprived of enjoyments that are right and spiritual and scriptural in the fear of God. The Lord desires this. Desires in the home that there is this blessedness. We see how the psalmist uses these pictures, these analogies. The wife as a vine or a fruitful vine in verse 3. And a vine, of course, is a tender plant that needs to be cherished. And that's the scriptural teaching. That the wife is to be cherished and loved. It's not a vine, as it were, someone said nailed to the side of a house, but a vine that's fruitful, that's spreading around and around the home. And of course, I suppose in the day in which we live, some circumstances mean that the mothers, the wives in the home have to go out and there is work. But I suppose when we study this psalm, we look at it carefully in the general sense, and where the home structure is established and in its rightful place. But it's good for the mother, as it were, to bring the children up from an early age, to teach, to nourish, to be the fruitful vine. And it's not just speaking here about childbearing. If there is a barrenness, the wife, the mother is fruitful in so many other ways, in encouraging, in loving, in loyalty, in faithfulness, in a godly example, in all of these things. Psalm 31 outlines the virtuous woman. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. I wonder how many times we praise, I would say, our wives. It's only me and Mr. Ferguson really here who's applicable for that. We have to praise our wives. That's a challenge that we have to have this evening. But that's what the scriptures are teaching. The godly position of the mother and of the wife. And then the children are like olive plants. Not olive branches, but olive plants. They're young, they're tender, they need to be fed, they need to be nourished. The olive plant grows up and around the sort of near diameter of the mother plant, and it depends upon it, and it's there ready to take its place. And the whole picture here of the psalmist is the olive plants around about the table. It's not a combining of two pictures to conjure up some strange idea, but he's speaking here of the dependence of the children and the family together at the table, and they're being taught, and they're being educated, and they're being instructed, and there the godly example is set, and there the family home is established, and there the blessing of God is evident. And this, of course, if it is our lot, and if this is our situation, this is what is required of us. This is the source of blessing. And in verse 4 he says, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. So in the home, and then of course in the church, there is scope within the church, and I'll finish with this. In verse 5, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. There's blessing from the church. There's a great truth here concerning the mutual blessing and influence between the church and the home. You see, it's in God's house that good Christian friendships ought to be made. In the house of God, where the children are brought up to hear and know the word of the Lord. And that's where the application is. The Lord will bless them out of Zion. Out of the Zion of God, out of the church of Jesus Christ, the blessing will flow. And that's why we as a flock must always maintain the importance of the children's work that we do. And we teach the children, and we bring them under the influence of the word. And we seek to evangelize them, and we pray that God will bless them out of Zion, out of his church. Countless blessings have come as a result of this. God ordained means the Lord uses, and he blesses. And you know, the same is true of the opposite. The church prospers and flourishes where there are families and individuals who walk in the fear of God. In that degree, there is that dependence and need for godly families, godly individuals, to form the church and to be a practical living example promoting the cause of Christ. And you know, this and all that we have considered this evening, this constitutes true temporal spiritual prosperity. Not the noise of today, not the so-called prosperity gospel. That's not true spiritual prosperity. What we read in Psalm 128 is true prosperity. And it's the fear of the Lord. Simple, honest life lived before him. And a desire to be blessed out of Zion. And to bless the church of Christ itself. May the Lord write these words upon our hearts. In Jesus' name.